Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome to the show this morning. This is Dr. John Coben on Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Has been our recent habit this week in reading some quotations from P.J. O'Rourke. He shares with us this morning, always read stuff that will make you look good if you die in the middle of it. Good wisdom, right? Always read stuff that will make you look good if you die in the middle of it. And he says, because of their size, parents may be difficult to discipline properly. Other wisdom, never wear anything that panics the cat. Well, on a more serious note today, this is Christian Worldview, and although we do enjoy reading some of the things that P.J. O'Rourke has to say in there, they convey a lot of insights for us for a living. I'll make sure I don't panic the cat by what I wear. Well, I don't know. Cats usually panic when they see me, actually. I'm not a fan of cats, by the way. I do like dogs, but not cats in particular. At any rate, our phone number here at the show is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You can also send your questions and comments to us by email at questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And we'd appreciate you sharing with us some of your hard interests in some of what you've heard on the show, perhaps what you're thinking about the show is, as well as perhaps commenting on some of the rather deep subjects we tend to get into on this show. It's almost like having a mini college classroom in the early morning hours for those of you on your way to work. I know that's hard for some folks. They don't like to think, or they'd like to avoid thinking. But this is not a show that's trying to attract people like that. If you are satisfied with not thinking and you're satisfied with a talk radio that's very superficial, then be content where you are. This show is for those who want to discuss the deeper issues of public policy, especially as it relates to the Christian life. But also, we have many people who are not Christians who listen to this show, and we're glad you've joined us. And most of those people tend to listen because they like our emphasis and the emphasis of the Tyranny Response Unit in general on liberty, the need to get back to limited government, free markets with less regulation, the pro-life sentiment that's so predominant in our station, and we're happy to have those folks listening as well. You are not going to find on the radio anybody that I've heard, other than Walter Williams when he subs for Mr. Rush Limbaugh, who holds to a stronger free market position than me, the Tyranny Response Unit. We are in favor of liberty. We are in favor of the values that made America great, and we're very happy to be able to broadcast them in this great nation. We have here a couple of interesting emails that came in overnight, and one of them is from Greg, and he's actually just sending us a quote, and he's sort of making a joke off of an email list called Gray Echoes, Jesse Jackson's Birth Was Predicted. And what he's doing is sending this quotation from Booker T. Washington. It isn't interesting that Booker T. Washington, almost not quite 200 years ago, but certainly over 100 years ago, would have said the following. There is another class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they are able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy, and partly because it pays. I think he's trying to say that Jesse Jackson is not an altruist. He's not out there doing his work because he really has a passion and a heartfelt belief about wanting to improve the life of black people, but he's actually doing it in part, or maybe mostly, because he wants sympathy or because he makes a living doing it. It's a good job for him. Interesting comment. Appreciate the comment, Greg. I can't say that I disagree with the analysis of Booker T. Washington. I'm sure that's the case, but I would also say it's also the case not with black folks, but with people who pander in general through the political process trying to get money, whether it's feminists or homosexuals or you know, white people that that don't want to work in certain kinds of jobs, environmentalists. There are people who are continually trying to complain about certain what they consider injustices, create a blog or a website or a forum for people in Congress to listen, and then get paid for it, for being the watchdogs, the complainers, and so forth. I think this is, in general, a phenomenon of the American civil political society. And certainly it would be the case with Jesse Jackson as well. I also have a couple of other emails today. One is a note from the Libertarian Party, who have been one of our great supporters. They had asked me to remind folks about this month's Libertarian Meetup. And it says this: I am writing to remind you about this month's Libertarian Meetup at the Coffee Underground in Greenville. It's downtown Greenville, this Wednesday. That'd be tonight, January 26th, starting at 8 p.m. Coffee Underground is located at the corner of East Coffee Street and Main Street in downtown Greenville. If you want to meet like-minded libertarians or just want to talk politics, this is the event for you. If you want to learn more about the libertarian philosophy and the Libertarian Party, this is the event for you. I hope to see you there. And that's signed by Lee Ott, the chairman of the Greenville County Libertarian Party. So all of you are invited to attend the event in downtown Greenville tonight. And I'll make that announcement a couple more times on the show today. We want to also thank Chuck, who wrote in another an important email this morning. He says, "Dear John, thank," and by the way, I don't mind people calling me John. I know this is the Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben show, but I prefer to be called John because that's my name. I do, in all circumstances, only require that my title be used if government agents speak to me, because they need to show respect, of course, because they are servants of the sovereign people, supposedly, and we try to enforce that whenever possible and make sure that they realize there is a difference between us and them. So all other folks, if you want to call me by my first name, I'd actually appreciate that. If you do work for the government, then make sure you use the title and the last name. That is what you you need to do. He says, "Dear John, thank you for a very high-quality show. I'm enjoying your discussions of public policy, learning to look at it in new ways, and would like to comment on one part of yesterday's show. You mentioned that it would be immoral to accept stolen funds from the government. This seems reasonable, but I suspect most people find the programs, especially Socialist Security," oh, he calls it Socialist Security, good point, "especially Socialist Security, are so pervasive that we would be at a loss to avoid participation. Have you looked at the Cato Institute's 6.2% solution? I like very much that it effectively releases the employee from contributing his share of FICA deductions entirely. This is not as radical as it may sound, as the SSA, that's the Social Security Administration, does not really have some big pot of money, but it is funded by Congress like any other welfare program. It would be accurately entitled Elderfare. The FICA contributions are merely another income tax or income surtax. Another interesting approach to opting out of Social Security for those who are neither government employees nor corporate officers, thus not taxable without apportionment per the U.S. Constitution, may dispute the incorrect W-2 and receive a full refund, including FICA and Medicare taxes, as Pete Hendrickson demonstrates at his website, www.losthorizons.com. I'm less familiar with the receiving end of Social Security, but I imagine it is a simpler matter to not apply for those benefits. With high regards, Chuck." Very interesting and helpful question and comment this morning, Chuck. And we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll discuss this further and I'll have some comments about it. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, and this is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money.
We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead. Make your day.
And we're here to make your day on the Tyranny Response Network. Welcome back to the show. Our phone number here is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. The show is live on the East Coast in Greenville, South Carolina, from 7:30 in the morning till 9 o'clock in the morning. If you're listening during that time, the show is live, and we'd welcome your phone calls. At other times, however, obviously we're not going to be here to answer your calls. We're glad you're listening to the recorded broadcast, whether it be by clicking from the link on the webpage, policyofliberty.net, or in some other means. Perhaps it's just being rebroadcast on the Tyranny Response Network. We're happy to receive your comments and questions, however, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by email. And you send those emails to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Well, Chuck's email is especially important because he mentioned several things that I think are of great value as a learning tool for us. The first issue is that Social Security is a welfare program. It is not a retirement account. It is not ineffective or inefficient provision of goods and services that government has taken over as made a public enterprise out of something private. For example, the post office, which is one of my favorite targets, I suppose, from public policy, or the building inspector. Both of those two functions, a building inspector or the post office, could be done privately. In fact, we have private mail delivery services. We have many of them, you know, UPS, Federal Express, DHL, and so forth. These people do not deliver first class or mail, or generally only packages and overnight mail, because it's illegal for them to deliver mail. In fact, the federal government has been known to fine people who do not have a need to send packages that absolutely positively have to be there overnight. They will literally shut down your business if you try to open a competitive operation and deliver mail, even in a local town. They have a monopoly on it, and that's why they're the only people that do it. A lot of people don't realize that people don't compete with the post office because they're not allowed to by law. With a building inspector, all of that is run by county government. However, we have many private building inspectors already people hire because they don't trust that the government inspector has done a decent job in finding the problems or defects of a home, either when it's built or certainly later on. When the building inspector has nothing more to do with it, they want someone to come in and inspect the home and see if it's still in good shape. So the private market can provide these two things, and yet government has chosen to usurp what the private market can do, and they create these public enterprises. Well, Social Security is not a public enterprise. It's not that there are investment firms out there and banks, for instance, or something, some entity that would allow you to save your money. And government has stepped in and said, look, we're gonna do a better job than those institutions and be a better bank or a better stock brokerage firm or mutual fund or some such thing. Nothing could be further from the truth. Social Security is no different than welfare. It is a welfare state institution, and the way Social Security is funded is simply by transferring wealth from those who are working via this tax, called euphemistically called contributions, and transferring those taxes to other people who are not working. There is, as far as economics goes, there is no difference between going down and getting a welfare check, getting a student grant, getting any kind of handout from the state, and getting Social Security. Now, I know if that's shocking for a lot of folks, but listen, this isn't just me who's saying this. Go to the many websites that discuss Social Security reform, and you'll see that it being admitted on both sides. I mean, nobody sees Social Security, who knows anything about it, as truly a retirement program that's not based in any way on welfare. It is another welfare transfer. It is a wealth transfer from those who work to those who don't. The so-called trust fund is a joke, pretty much. You have this alleged fund out there, and they'll talk about it as if it's some sort of a mutual fund. But all that really is money effectively is transferred into this fund from the taxpayers, where the loot is confiscated, and that money is then immediately taken out and put it into the federal budget and replaced with an IOU from Congress. And the IOU is not like a normal treasury bill or treasury bond, that the kind of debt that the government normally floats when it finances its open market operations through the Federal Reserve or elsewhere. This sort of IOU is a non-marketable, can't be sold, a piece of paper, a funky, really weird IOU that doesn't exist anywhere else on the government's balance sheet in any other form or in any other capacity elsewhere. And so this IOU, it from an economics point of view, just looks like a funny money. And it all may look to some of you like funny money, but this especially does. I mean, the money goes in, the Federal Reserve notes and so forth are confiscated from taxpayers or from people who work. They go into this account. The account's immediately evacuated. All the money's taken out, and then it's replaced with some goofy IOU that, who knows, it'll ever be paid back. So the trust fund assets consist of this paper, which really isn't worth a whole lot. The government defaulted on it; it would default on it, and could not default on anything else, and it wouldn't affect their credit rating or their credibility in any way. Well, having said all that, I think there's just no doubt that you need to be convinced of this fact, folks. That so if you're receiving a Social Security check, you're receiving welfare. There is just no difference. Don't kid yourself by saying also that I paid in for all these years. So because I paid in, I deserve to get something out. Listen, folks, you didn't pay anything into anything like a mutual fund. What you did, or what happened to you, is you were taxed. The government extortively stole from you. I guess you can say that. The government extorted from you about 12.4% of your money. They took that money out of your paycheck, they stole it from you, and they gave it to other people. That's what happened. You didn't contribute anything. You just were robbed. And it's not nice to be robbed. None of us like to be robbed, but let's face it, that's what it was. It was robbery. It wasn't you making a donation to your savings account. And I've lived in places like Chile, for instance, where they have private Social Security. And in those countries, you're forced to save. But I get a mutual fund statement down there every month showing the amount that I contributed and what the value is, what it's invested in, and how much it's expected to grow to. Well, you can calculate how much it's expected to grow to if you use certain assumptions about interest rates and length of period of before you draw out. So there are places where you do have forced savings where you actually are making contributions to an account, in Chile, for instance. But it's not the way it is here, folks. Here in the United States, we have Social Security, which is little different than welfare. In fact, there's fundamentally no different than welfare. We've taken up another chunk of time here, and we've come up against another break. This is the Tyranny Response Network, and you're listening to Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to TRN. Disinfecting the Modern Mainstream Media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And here we are again this morning providing more of that roughage for your brain. Happy to do so. Well, there's another issue and principle here with regard to any welfare transfers or taxes, and that is especially valid for Christians, although non-Christians would also feel some moral scruples about this matter as well. And that's that there's a difference between being stolen from or being robbed and stealing from somebody else. The idea that many people have, which I believe is completely wrong, to say that, well, look, Social Security is theft, the tax is theft, having to pay these FICA taxes, euphemistically called contributions, is evil, It's an awful thing that they confiscate my my labor from me that way, my property. And that's true. It is. It's terrible. Being robbed, and we all face it, it's no fun. It's an awful thing. It's sinful. It's wicked. It's vile. We can put all sorts of descriptive things about it on the air here, and they would all be true, certainly, when we talk about the nature of this tax and what it really is. However, the fact that we're robbed does not give us the right or the obligation or the privilege or anything such as that to go out and rob somebody else. And when you take Social Security, you are applying for a benefit that requires that someone else be robbed, period. It doesn't matter that the government's going to do it at any rate, that they say, go ahead and apply for it because we're going to rob people regardless. That fact does not justify your actions and saying, well, I stole it from somebody. Somebody's got to get that cash. It might as well be me. There is no way you can justify your behavior of stealing money from other people simply because the thief is already guaranteed to do it. That fact does not exonerate you. And as a Christian, the Bible is very clear, let him who stole steal no longer. Paul says that very clearly in his epistles. Do not steal any longer. Let him who stole steal no longer. And we have no right to go and steal from other people. Also of no value is the excuse that, well, it's so widely accepted, Dr. Coben, nobody's going to accuse me of stealing if I take a Social Security check. I've never heard a preacher say, don't take a Social Security check. No one will bother me about it. And since it's so widely accepted in our society, this theft's okay. I'm just going to do it. It doesn't matter. No one's going to bug me about it. I'm not going to get excommunicated from the church. No one's going to rebuke me other than you or maybe a few others. So it just doesn't matter. Again, this does not justify what you do. You cannot say because the church is addicted or doesn't realize there's a sin going on, doesn't see that there's a problem in society, that it's okay for you to just fly under the radar and say, I'm just going to take those government benefits. It doesn't really matter to me what, if it's really right or wrong in God's sight. I'm going to do it at any rate. The church has been and can be wrong about issues. It, in the past, has made mistakes. And even now, there are many things which the church it doesn't realize it's doing it wrong, such as marrying people with marriage licenses, or such as incorporating their churches, again, putting them under the privileged position of a federal, I don't want to say institution, but receiving federal privileges for the right to exist, to 501c3. These are wrong things that churches do frequently, and yet they're commonly accepted as being okay, and therefore no one says anything about it. Doesn't change the fact that it's still wrong and you have no right to do it just because other people won't rebuke you for it. So beware of those justifications that often arise that people have to say, well, I'm just going to go ahead and take welfare. No one's going to bother me about it. I've been stolen from. I deserve to get something back because somebody stole something from me. Folks, these are lame excuses. You can't do that. You can't say that and be right before God. Well, related to this, before I go on, there was a Fox News headline that came out yesterday, and it says, this year's deficit to hit record $427 billion. Washington, the White House will project that this year's federal deficit will hit $427 billion, a senior administration official said Tuesday. I think Bill Clinton, for all his foibles, did run some years without a deficit, as I recall. The Republicans, which are supposedly fiscal conservatives, for all you gullible Christians and others out there who voted for this man and actually believed that he might reduce the size of government and do something to increase morality in the country, neither has been true. In fact, the opposite has occurred. We still have just as much abortion as ever, and we have fewer rights, and we have bigger government with larger deficits. Well, at any rate, he says $427 billion, a senior administration official said Tuesday, a record partly driven by wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The official among the three who briefed reporters on condition of anonymity said the estimate was conservative, a conservative one that assumed that some higher spending than other analysts use. Last February, the White House projected that the 2004 shortfall would hit $521 billion, only to see it come in at $412 billion. At any rate, what does a budget deficit have to do with public policy, especially as it relates to the Christian's relationship to the state? Well, it has a lot to do with it. First of all, you know, when the government's running budget deficits, that means it takes in less money than it spends every year, that it has to go out and borrow more money through its open market operations and increase the amount of federal debt out there, which is already unpayable. It's just, you know, the trillions of dollars that are owed or could never be paid back. It'll someday just be defaulted on or be inflated away one way or another, that it will have to be gotten rid of because it's just not a payable debt. But besides that fact, you know that when the government is not running a surplus and there are deficits, that every dollar you take in to the tax system is going to be spent. So if you have money confiscated from you for Social Security taxes, for FICA, you will be guaranteed to have that money spent immediately. There is no surplus. There's no holding account. There's no savings account. The money goes into that so-called trust fund. It's immediately taken out of there and spent. And that money, what's replacing that money is this weird IOU that can be defaulted on at any time without having any effect on the standard run of Treasury bonds and Treasury bills. So all your money goes right to work, folks. If it's confiscated from you, it goes and is spent by government on its various programs, including Social Security. It's transferred to other people from those of you who work to those who don't work. So that's a very interesting aspect that we need to recognize. In addition, Chuck had a few other comments in here about the Cato Institute, which is the chief and leading libertarian think tank in Washington, on its 6.2% solution. I have heard of this. In fact, I spoke at the Cato Institute. They called me up to be one of the panelists on the privatization of Social Security, and I there offered an article which I've now summarized online in a recent Times Examiner article called "Privatizing Social Security Via the Macabre," where I use the idea of life insurance. Using life insurance on ancestors as a means of funding current Social Security without the stock market as a better alternative than what we have today. Of course, I also said the best alternative is to eliminate Social Security entirely, not force anybody to save a dime if they don't want to. But at any rate, I am familiar with the Cato Institute. I have spoken up there. They are aware of who I am, obviously. And I have looked at this 6.2% solution. What do I think about it? Well, I think it's a good, halfway or quarter way house. I think it's better than using the system we have now. It's nicer to not have all your tax money confiscated, and you'd be able to save some like you would in Chile, even though the employer's portion, which is really your portion, your salary is just lower. Employers don't pay taxes. They just collect taxes. The employer doesn't look at you when they hire you and say, well, let's pay them, $50,000 a year, and then let's take out extra 7% out of our profits, then we'll just send them off to the government to help pay this guy's Social Security. It doesn't work that way. When they offer you $50,000 a year, they're looking at you as a $53,000 package for them. They see the whole picture when they hire. So at any rate, when I think Chuck realizes that when he's saying that the 6.2% solution is going to say part of the money that goes in would go to a private account. Well, it's a great idea. The problem is it's not going to work because government is simply not going to give up a huge percentage of its budget. If people believe that this goes to some kind of a fund, well, they're misled. It doesn't. These aren't contributed right now to a slush fund somewhere, or a retirement fund, or a mutual fund. They go right into the federal budget and are spent any way Congress chooses to do so. And so the 6.2% solution will not fly because government politicians do not want to give up their power. They're not going to give up 33% or even 15% of the federal budget, their ability to spend, just so people can have private accounts. It's a good idea as far as a quarter way house or a halfway house, some kind of part way step of getting out of this mess. But I don't think politically it's going to fly. I hope I'm wrong. We're going to continue discussion about Social Security when we come back from our break here. This is the Tyranny Response Unit. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Tyranny Response Unit. Dr. John Coben trying to do it. P.G.O. O'Rourke already admonished me to do today, never to wear anything that panics the cat. Today I do have my black suit on with my purple tie. And I hope that's not too panicking to any cat, but we'll find out as I walk down the street if I happen to see one. Or maybe they'll just be so panicked they'll run away. Or maybe they're not panicked at all. I don't know. But trying to be true to that particular admonition of P.J. O'Rourke. Well, P.J. O'Rourke is not a Christian, but he is a libertarian, or calls himself a libertarian slash conservative, at least from what I can tell. Says he's a Republican for whatever reason. And has some great deal of insight and satirical critique of the state, which I enjoy reading. I would caution you, if you do decide to read P.J. O'Rourke, that he's not going to be all conducive to a lot of us who hold a different who hold to Christian values. His language at times is crude or vulgar, and you need to be aware of that if you are going to pick up any particular book by P.J. O'Rourke. Nevertheless, as God says, if you can separate the precious from the vile, he told Jeremiah that, you will be as my mouth. And so what we want to do is be able to take out the bits and pieces that are good and true from everything we read, and cautiously analyze it, and then apply it to how we can effectively improve our Christian worldview, or at least sharpen our understanding. Well, P.J. O'Rourke says regarding Social Security, Social Security is a government program with a constituency made up of the old, the near old, and those who hope or fear to grow old. After 215 years of trying, we have finally discovered a special interest that includes 100% of the population. Now we can vote ourselves rich. And of course, this is humorous. It's a joke, in a sense. It doesn't it makes sense that because everybody is in the special interest group of someday getting old. There will be somebody there at some point, and therefore government is always interested in this program because it affects everybody. Everyone wants, not everyone, many people, or most people in America, look forward to the day they can get some of their money back, some Social Security. And so here we have an example, I think, of, P.J. O'Rourke is doing a good job of making light of this very pernicious public policy. Well, we were talking about Chuck's comment about the Cato Institute 6.2% solution, and how that might work as a halfway house. And I think it's a great step, Chuck, towards bringing us freer markets and less taxation and less theft, therefore, in the United States of America. And so, therefore, I think we have to be in favor of it. But we also have to bear in mind that it is not going to probably ever go through. We're going to end up having this tax continue from time to time all the way through because government needs the money. It does not want to relinquish its power. Government may shift taxes from one thing to another, but it's most likely not going to ever give up and actually reduce its size. Ask yourself the question, when by voting and by the political process, by redressing grievances, has government really gotten smaller? Has government truly given you back some of your rights? Just think about it. We like to believe that that's the case, that it's possible, but I don't know of a single instance in American history that government has shrunk itself. Is that right? Shrunk itself. And I'm not. I don't know of a single time in United States history that government has spent less and given us our rights, more rights back than we previously had. And I say that because government does routinely violates rights. It's routinely looking for ways around what the Constitution guarantees us. And I think that's of great concern to me and should be to you. Well, if that's the case, looking back through history, that says that there was less government, there were more rights, because the two are opposite. You know, you have more government and you have fewer rights, period. Yeah, liberty is always liberty or freedom, as Ludwig von Mises says, from the state. If you have no state, you have complete liberty. Now, that may not be the best solution, to have no government at all. To have no state, it probably would be the best solution, but to have no government might not be. Those of you who are anarchists listening to the show perhaps would disagree, and I'd say that political anarchists, there are many libertarians who hold to an anarchist political anarchism, but don't have, like Murray Rothbard, for instance, was a political anarchist, but certainly hold to law and order. But at any rate, there may be an opportunity in the United States to look back and say, well, you know, there were fewer rights and the size of government was greater. There were more rights under Thomas Jefferson than there were under Abraham Lincoln. As soon as we got to Lincoln, we got fewer rights, we got bigger government, which is a fact. Lincoln expanded the size of government enormously. In fact, his predecessor, Buchanan, was the first president to have a paid secretary in the White House. Every other president up till Buchanan used the services of his wife to be the secretary of the White House to the president. What a remarkable change has happened since then. Well, under Woodrow Wilson, we had, and you could say Grant, Taft, any of these guys, we had more government, fewer rights. When the 16th Amendment and the Federal Reserve Act came out in 1913, more rights yet were taken away. We had bigger government. FDR expanded it even further. More government, fewer rights. And people's property became confiscated vastly and widely. Money was no longer based on, or was not gold and silver any longer. It was became purely paper. The economy went down. And since then, we've had even more government, larger government now than we've ever had in the United States of America's history. And we have fewer rights than we ever have had. Even though the rights are guaranteed to us and to be protected under the Constitution through the philosophy outlined in the Declaration of Independence, governments have chosen to deny this and have taken away our rights and created larger government. So by voting, do we really have any hope of getting back to a position of more rights and smaller government? I don't think so. I think the only way it ever has happened in history, unfortunately, is by force of arms. I'm not preaching revolution. I'm just stating the facts. If we really believe that we can get back to less government and more rights, we got to be thinking long-term, folks. The only way it's going to happen is if the thing blows up, and we can either secede or revolt. And when I say we, I'm saying largely the people have to do it again because it's not going to be given over to them by the state. Government's not going to reduce its budget. It's not going to give up the 6.2% without a fight. It's got to get it some other way. If they give in there, they've got to get it somewhere else. And that's the only way that's the only outcome that there's going to be. I'm sorry that to be so dire in my prediction, but I just don't see it as a feasible public policy solution. We've got a quick break we're going to take right now. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt,
lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome back. We're here discussing the deeper side, or the darker side, of Social Security, privatization efforts, and the possibility of becoming freer again and not having so much money confiscated from us by this extortive FICA tax. You can call the show this morning at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. We also welcome your questions and comments to be emailed to us at questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. We have a before I continue on our discussion of Social Security, we have an important announcement from the Libertarian Party. The Libertarian Party is one of the groups that is a major supporter of our efforts here at the Tyranny Response Network. It's not just the Libertarian Party. We also have the Constitution Party, the Carolina Patriots, and other groups who have been supportive and helpful in both making this happen, this show happen, and continuing the progress and upgrading of our facilities. And so we're happy to give some announcement time, some public service announcement for the Libertarian Party. And this comes from Lee Ott, the chairman of the Greenville County Libertarian Party. And he says, "I'm writing to remind you about this month's Libertarian meeting at Coffee Underground this Wednesday, January 26, 2005, starting at 8 p.m. Coffee Underground is located at the corner of East Coffee Street and Main Street in downtown Greenville. If you want to meet like-minded libertarians or just want to talk politics, this is the event for you. If you want to learn more about the libertarian philosophy and the Libertarian Party, this is the event for you. I hope to see you there. Thanks." And I've been to some of these events before, and they are very entertaining and useful. I am a pro-life libertarian by choice, and there are many of us, especially in places like South Carolina, which tend to be more socially conservative, you find many pro-life libertarians. And to those listening in other time zones and other parts of the country, that may be a little bit shocking because the libertarians you might know in your area are very different from the libertarians that you might find here in places like Greenville, South Carolina. Nevertheless, don't let it be too shocking to you. Just think of that all parties are comprised of different factions and people, the Republican Party, for instance, is no different. They're composed of people who you would be surprised would be on the Republican ticket at times, given the lip service that George Bush does towards abortion or pro-life. You have guys like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Arlen Specter, for instance, two of my favorite Republicans at the moment. The Constitution Party, to their credit, is far purer in its philosophy. It's also because it's far purer, far smaller. The true and faithful in the party are to be lauded for the tremendous cause which they promote and the tremendous principle in which they uphold, but obviously they're not going to be as inclusive, and therefore they're not going to have as many people join, and that's exactly what we've seen. Well, at any rate, we hope you'll have an opportunity to, for those of you in Greenville, to go and get to know Lee Ott and the other libertarians tonight at Coffee Underground. We're happy to make that announcement for them. A couple days ago at Fox News, actually it was January 15th, Fox News reported Bush, Social Security, to go bankrupt. President Bush said Saturday that Social Security is on the road to bankruptcy and will be unable to pay promised benefits to future generations, raising the stakes in a major political battle with Democrats. Bush used his weekly radio address to try to build support for his plan to allow workers to divert part of their Social Security payroll taxes into private investment accounts. Democrats accuse him of exaggerating the problem to sell a plan that would scale back Social Security. Well, again, I think Bush is rightly recognizing a problem. What's going to be interesting to see is how far if at all, they'll be able to get in privatizing even part of the Social Security contributions. What would happen if the Cato Institute idea, the 6.2% idea, were implemented? Let's assume that that's roughly half of the Social Security benefits that go into the pool, or sorry, the Social Security tax that goes into the pool that government can spend. And let's also assume that about 30% of the budget, current federal budget, comes from Social Security receipts, those kinds of extortive taxes. That would mean that one half of the 30%, or 15%, of the entire federal budget would be gone. It would be wiped away. It would be history. How in the world would we be able to fund all the current programs without running up even more deficits, more debt in the United States? We would not be able to. And therefore, the only solution, if this is a solution to privatize part of it, for the government to solve this problem would, one, be to cut its size, to actually eliminate the Department of Education or eliminate some other federal programs, which is it's going to be very loath to do. It's very unlikely that's going to happen. Or, in fact, it's never happened in history that we've had a true cutback in government size. The other choice would be to simply go and extort tax money from other avenues, whether it be indirectly or in a hidden manner, much like gasoline taxes or sin taxes are, some sales taxes, or inflation. Inflation, you know, inflating the money supply and getting taxed that way. It's a harder way to do it over the long run, but it could be done in the short term. It might also increase property confiscation through phony wars like the drug war, or it could simply steal it from other countries, whether it be oil in Iraq or otherwise. The government might also get indirect payoffs from again, pursuing the war on drugs or some other vice. In some way, shape, or form, the government is going to have to replenish the 15% loss that it would take if it truly privatized all or part of Social Security. Now, I don't know, folks, how it would do it offhand. I'm only offering some conjecture right now, but I'm trying to bring it to reality and bring to light the fact that, look, it's not going to be easy to privatize anything the government's doing now because they don't want to give up the programs or the power. If Social Security does indeed get privatized in some ways, even halfway, in a halfway house method or a quarterway house method, you're not going to find... You're going to find that the government is going to have to tax somewhere else, increase taxes somewhere else in order to offset the shortfall. So it's interesting to look at the discussion, but I don't think it's going to be fruitful. I think in the long run we're not going to get much different than what we have now. The only reason Chile has private Social Security is they had a revolution and they kicked the communist out. They just wiped them out of there. And when they installed the brand new government, they were able to put in the Constitution all these more wonderful provisions. And anyway, we're up against a break again. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, and this is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Back in a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead. Make your day.
We're here trying to make your day on the Tyranny Response Network. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Just to remind you of our phone numbers again, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. If you're listening to the show live between 7:30 and 9 in Greenville, you're more than welcome to call in live. Otherwise, please send your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Also be looking to the homepage of Policy of Liberty to find links for the next great event that we have on the Tyranny Response Network, and that is the webcasting of all our content. Pretty soon, people all over the world will be able to simply click a link and be able to listen live to the show
Even though it's produced here in South Carolina, it will be available everywhere in the world, live, and you'll be able to call in live and follow the show. I realize it's a bit of a hardship for those of you on the West Coast who listen to the recorded broadcast, because the show here will start at 4:30 in the morning for you. But nevertheless, for those of you who are truly hardcore and diehard about the cause, might be up early for a part or all of the show on the West Coast, and you'll be able to listen shortly as we get our webcast hopefully up and running this week. We have just one other final comment I want to make on Social Security. And again, I want to direct you to the website, policyofliberty.net. Click on the link that leads you to articles and books that I've written, and you'll find an article on privatizing Social Security, a way that I suggest could be done without having all the risk involved, the so-called risk. Remember, the Democrats, the liberals constantly complain that we have to have this old age pension scheme, this welfare scheme, available to people, and we cannot possibly privatize it through the stock market because it's too risky. Well, I suggest in that article an alternative method, and I'd encourage you to read it. And it is essentially this, that you take out a policy, a life insurance policy, whole life even, and even if the rate of return isn't great on whole life, it's a whole lot better than the so-called rate of return that one gets on Social Security. Bear that in mind. But at any rate, if one simply goes to the web, one simply privatizes his Social Security by buying an insurance policy on an ancestor, mother, father, aunt, uncle, anyone from the previous generation, the great likelihood is those people will die ahead of them, and they will be able to receive that benefit of a life insurance payout. Especially using whole life, it'll be a guaranteed payout. And what I found in my own research, and it's not hard to do, folks, just go get some quotes for yourself and find out the prices of these things, that if a person who's, for instance, age 35 begins contributing to a life insurance program with just half the money that he would normally pay into Social Security, earning $60,000 a year, just half the money he would be normally paying in or being stolen from through this extortive tax of Social Security, and he only pays in, so to speak, for 15 years instead of for the rest of his life, for the next 30 years, just half the time and half the money, he will have twice as much, just using plain vanilla whole life, twice as much money when he retires than he would with Social Security. There's no risk, folks. This hasn't involved the stock market. Doesn't have anything to do with ups and downs. In fact, it's built on a guarantee that's better than what the federal government can offer, because death is absolutely unavoidable. People can say all day long the U.S. government will never default on its debt, and that's a guarantee. But I'm going to tell you, folks, it could happen, and there's one thing that will certainly not happen. We have an absolute guarantee, and that's that we're all going to live forever on this earth. We are all going to die unless the Lord Jesus returns, and you won't have to worry about Social Security or any of these other retirement funds, period, if that happens. So if Christ doesn't return and we all live our lives out, we will eventually die. And the fact that people will die is a greater guarantee, something you can count on even more than the federal government. So read that article and have us and glean the insight of how we could privatize Social Security without any risk. It certainly had George Bush's people up with great concern when I talked about that at the Cato Institute a couple of years ago. And you know, folks, there are so many ways to skin this cat and make it right. Even if we don't just eliminate Social Security entirely, but they're not going to listen. They haven't listened. Why? Because they want the power. They like the tax. They like being able to spend all that money and be able to have all that control over people's lives. That's the bottom line, folks. Sorry to break the news to you if you hadn't seen that before, but that's why Social Security is there. It's a control thing. It's not there for your benefit. It's for their benefit. Well, I appreciate that email, Chuck. I spent so much time talking about it this morning because I think it's a hot issue and it's an important issue. Social Security is something we just can't get around and avoid talking about on the Christian Worldview Show, because as Christians, we're taking Social Security checks. I'm not. I will never take one. I know that they've stolen the money from me for it, but I'm not going to take the check. I know many Christians do. In fact, most Christians retirement age don't even think twice about it. They don't even think it's wrong. Churches don't say it's wrong. Pastor doesn't say it's wrong. Everyone else does it. I paid in. These are all the common excuses you hear for why people receive stolen funds or apply
to the government to go and rob other people so they can get money and the welfare benefit. They deserve it, they think. These are all the common excuses Christians make, but it's a wrong thing for Christians to think. It's not part of the Christian worldview that we should steal, because the Bible clearly says, "Let him who stole steal no longer." We are not to violate the commandments of God by stealing from other people and taking Social Security. There are also the excuses that people make up, and we talked about this the other day. Well, if I can just take that money and steal it from other people and put it to a good cause, the ends justify the means. Folks, they don't justify the means. I'm sorry, but you cannot say that I'm going to do good by robbing somebody else. I know what's better to do with that money than he does. I'm going to put it towards the cause of liberty. It's totally antithetical to liberty to rob somebody. You can't say I'm going to promote liberty by stealing. It simply doesn't work that way, folks, and I know there are many people who believe this, but it's just wrong. It's the same thing that happened with the tsunami victims. You remember, and I wrote another article on this, agreeing with people like Professor Dr. Walker Williams, a fine advocate of liberty in our nation, and the government has no right to send aid. It's wrong for governments to send aid to tsunami victims. It's not wrong at all for private charities or churches to do so, but it's wrong for government to steal money with a good intention of going and helping somebody else. They steal more money from people. They take money away from people in order to give it elsewhere. That's wrong, folks. It's not a Christian perspective that we should be able to steal from one person in order to do well. As Walter puts it, if you're walking down the street and you see a homeless man and you have compassion and mercy and you think, what would Christ do in this situation? They'd help this poor man. You give him some of your own money, maybe you give him $5, that's all you have, but then you pull out your .357, you walk up to the next guy you see, and you mug him. You say, I want $100 right now, or I'll kill you, and I'll put you in jail, or whatever. Well, that's what the government would do. I'll beat you up. So the guy hands over his wallet and you take $100 out. You walk back over to the other poor man and say, here, I wanted to give you this because of the love of Christ I have in my heart for you and compassion. Folks, it doesn't work that way. You can't steal money from other people to be compassionate. Walter Williams and other economists who have said this are right on the money. They're dead right. You cannot steal in order to be and justify stealing because you're going to use it for liberty or use it for charity. It just doesn't work that way. Well, enough said about Social Security this morning. If you have comments or questions, we'd be happy to hear from you. 864-201-6955 is our phone number, 864-201-6955 at the Tyranny Response Network. If you're listening live between 7:30 and 9 in the morning. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can email your questions and comments to questions@policyofliberty.net, questions@policyofliberty.net. Well, when we come back, we're going to have another quip from P.J. O'Rourke, and then we're going to have a couple other emails. We have Brad, who's written in something about the central bank. We want to talk about that, as well as new surveillance by satellite that's going on that the cops are able to infringe on our rights even more. And we also have another Fox News story about PBS trying to show some lesbian commercials. All these, I think, relevant to the Christian worldview. We'll look forward to having you back after the break in just a few minutes. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Back.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly.
Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. We have, once again, a few more great quotations, quips from famous humorist P.J. O'Rourke. He says, and this relates somewhat to Social Security again, there's one more terrifying fact about old people. I'm going to be one soon. He also says, when buying and selling are controlled by legislation, the first things to be bought and sold are legislators. Oh, so true, PJ. When buying and selling are controlled by legislation, the first things to be bought and sold are legislators. And finally, he adds for us this morning, a little government and a little luck are necessary in life, but only a fool trusts in either of them. PJ, I couldn't have said it any better myself. In fact, there's no one like you out there who can has such a quick wit for writing this sort of things. A little government, a little luck are necessary in life, but only a fool trusts either of them. Gotta love it. We're talking about Social Security most of the first part of the show, and we're appreciative of being able to do so. If you would like to call and discuss some of these issues, please do so at 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955. Beyond that, you're welcome to send comments and questions to questions@policyofliberty.net, and I'll receive them by email and respond the next day. We've responded most of the show, actually, to the leading of an email from listener Chuck, who wrote in about Social Security and the Cato 6.2% solution. Well, we have another email from Brad this morning, and he says, Dear Dr. Coben, with the seemingly never-ending war on terror, how can we continue to have a stable currency with record-level deficits and with the use with the rising euro-dollar? I recently came across a story below and found it very disturbing. Central banks, the story says, according to Financial Times, January 24th, central banks shift reserves away from U.S. The central banks are shifting reserves away from the U.S. and toward the eurozone in a move that looks set to deepen the Bush administration's difficulties in financing its ballooning current account deficit. An action is likely to undermine the dollar's value in currency markets. 70% of the central bank reserve managers said they increased their exposure to the euro over the past 2 years. The majority thought eurozone money and debt markets were as attractive as a destination for investment as the U.S. The findings emerged from the survey of the central bank reserve managers published today and conducted between September and December of last year. About 65 central banks controlling assets worth $1.7 trillion took part in the results showed a marked change in the attitude over the past 2 years. Any rebalancing of central bank reserve portfolios has serious implications for the global financial system as the U.S. has become increasingly dependent on official flows of funds to finance its current account deficit, estimated at $650 billion, although Bush administration just said it was $417 billion in 2004. At the end of 2003, central banks held 70% of their official reserves in dollar-denominated assets, and central bank purchases of U.S. securities had financed more than 80% of the U.S. current account deficit in 2003. Any reluctance to increase exposure to dollar assets further could cause the greenback to plunge on currency markets. The U.S. cannot take support for the dollar for granted, said Nick Carver, one of the authors of the study conducted by Central Banking Publications, a company that specializes in reporting of the central banks. Central banks' enthusiasm for the dollar seems to be cooling off. Well, I won't read the rest of the article. I appreciate Brad sending this concern in. It is an important aspect, I think, for not only those of us who love liberty, but also for the Christian worldview. And I'll just read his question again. With a seemingly never-ending war on terror, how can we continue to have a stable currency with record-level deficits and with the dollar with the rising of the euro? I recently came across a story below and found it very disturbing. Well, what happens is, indeed, the war on terror is the excuse that government is using right now to increase its size and also to deny and take away our rights through things like the Patriot Act. So we have more government, we have more spending to support that government, and we have fewer rights. What that means is we'll have to have greater taxation in one form or another in order to pay these things off, or the out-and-out repudiation of the debt, one of the two, either of them, which would have very chaotic and disturbing consequences for the United States. Remember, folks, who is the greatest beneficiary of terror wars, drug problems, or any other issue that comes up in a cataclysmic form? It's always the government. The greatest beneficiary of the 9/11 attacks was the government. The government has had greater size, greater power. Just the Transportation Security Administration alone at airports has increased in size from something like 2,000 jobs a few years ago to about 50,000 jobs right now. There is more work being done in the government because of the war on terror, and the size is going to continue to grow. What does that mean for our currency? Well, our currency is a fiat currency. It's already based on nothing as it is. As is the euro, by the way. It's no different over there. But when foreign governments or other people look at America becoming less stable, we're continually having to borrow more money, that our budget deficits are completely out of control, they're going to run to other currencies to hold their reserves and their assets that are denominated with another currency, such as the euro. Now, they could pick the yen. They could pick, you know, the Chilean peso or a number of other things, but the euro is looked upon right now as being a much stronger currency than the dollar, and probably for good reason, at least for the moment. It doesn't mean that the central bank of at Brussels in Europe is more conservative or better than the central bank here in the United States. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are more fiscally conservative than what we have here in the United States in terms of their policies. It simply means that right now the United States government is run amok. It's flush with money and trying to get more. It's like the vampire bat that can never be satisfied with how much blood it sucks out. It wants more and more and more. It wants to increase its scope, and people get worried when they see that because it's going to affect exchange rates and people's confidence in the dollar. I mean, instead of the euro being on a one-to-one par with the dollar as it was just a couple of years ago, we're seeing, you know, the euro go to one and a third dollars, $1.50. It's creeping up in value relative to the dollar all the time because of our fiscally irresponsible policies. This is what the Bush administration gets you, folks. It's not fiscal conservatism. It's not what the Republican dream is that many people had under Ronald Reagan. It's profligate runaway spending, and that's what the government of the United States is doing right now. Will it bring us to our knees? Will it actually cause a collapse in the United States, this sort of activity? Well, it could if it continues. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not a believer in that these ultimate conspiracies will come through, because I give more credit to the parasites who are in the federal government now to learn how to live and exist. They are going to find a way to survive, and before that great collapse comes, they'll find a new tax, a new way of shifting taxes. They'll find a new way of having spending accepted, greater levels of spending accepted, or a new way to rob people and deprive them of rights, voluntarily even, than ever before, and government will find a miraculous way to survive in the United States. I think they're quite resilient as a parasite, perhaps the greatest parasite in the history of the world, for being adaptive and not destroying itself, as most governments tend to do with their hyperinflation and other policies. So I don't expect the worst from it, but it'll be interesting to see how they come out of this, and this euro shift thing is indeed indicating that confidence in America and in our currency here the Great Federal Reserve Note is waning. So appreciate the email, Brad. It's a very great, it's an excellent comment, and we encourage thinking Christians like Brad and others to go ahead and write in your comments and questions to the show. You can reach us today at 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955, or you can email us your questions and comments to questions@policyofliberty.net. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network, and we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to TRN. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Welcome back to the show. This is Dr. John Coben. Before we continue on with the broadcast, I want to give one more plug for the meeting tonight of the Libertarian Party. Lee Ott, the chairman, invites everyone listening to the show to come to this meeting tonight at the Coffee Underground in downtown Greenville, Wednesday, January 26, 2005, starting at 8 p.m. Coffee Underground is located at the corner of East Coffee Street and Main Street in downtown Greenville. If you want to meet like-minded libertarians or just want to talk politics, this is the event for you. If you want to learn more about the libertarian philosophy and the Libertarian Party, this event is for you. He hopes to see you there and says thanks. We'd like to thank the Libertarian Party for their support of this show, both with the equipment and the processing of the show and the broadcast itself, as well as for other funding. In addition, if any of you are interested in supporting the show, you'll notice that we run commercial-free, a largely volunteer effort here at the Tyranny Response Network. We would really covet your not only your prayers for us, but also your financial support. If you can even send in $10 a month or $20 a month or a one-time gift of $5, it's all helpful, and we would really be happy to hear from you. Please send me or the show a comment to questions@policyofliberty.net or give us a call. Preferably just send us an email, and we'll get back in touch with you on how you can donate to the cause. Fox News is reporting something else. I didn't want to let it pass by without making at least some mention of it today, since this is dealing with a Christian worldview, I think. Education Secretary slams PBS show with lesbians, interestingly enough. Washington, the nation's new education secretary, denounced PBS on Tuesday, its public broadcasting system, on Tuesday for spending public money on a cartoon with lesbian characters, saying many parents would not want children exposed to such lifestyles. The not-yet-aired episode of Postcards from Buster shows the title character, an animated bunny named Buster, on his trip to Vermont, a state known for recognizing same-sex civil unions. The episode features two lesbian couples, though the focus is on the farm life and maple sugaring. A PBS spokesman said late Tuesday that the nonprofit network has decided to not distribute the episode, called Sugar Time, to its 349 stations. She said that the Education Department's objections were not a factor in that decision. Ultimately, our decision was based on the fact that we recognize that this is a sensitive issue, and we wanted to make sure that parents had an opportunity to introduce the subject to their children in their own time, said Leah Sloan, Vice President of Media Relations of PBS. Well, the way you should introduce it, folks, is by going to the scriptures, and you should simply show your children that God ordained marriage in the Garden of Eden, and it has done ever since then, between a man and a woman. Plain and simple. There's no doubt about that. In fact, if you go to Leviticus chapter 13 and elsewhere, God specifically condemns, Romans 1 for instance, God specifically condemns lesbianism, that is the union, the sexual or physical union of two females, as well as two males, as wrong, wickedness, and evil. So that's what we need to share with our children. I would also encourage you not to watch PBS unless you want to be brainwashed by the current government and state agenda. There's really not a whole lot worth seeing there. I don't even have a television in my home, and one reason is I don't want to waste my time, and the other is I don't need to be brainwashed, or especially have my children brainwashed by this sort of malarkey that goes on. But at any rate, it is interesting to note that the Department of Education secretary found it so offensive, and you know it's really bad if someone up in that level running something as offensive as a public school or a government school would find this shocking. So it must really be bad, given what all that goes on in government schools. Interesting note from, I think, the Christian worldview that has gone on in the state today. In addition to that, we have from CNetNews.com, Snooping by Satellite. Received this article from Stuart. Appreciate Stuart sending in this article. Had no idea it was going on, and I do appreciate people sending me pieces of information that are more obscure when they run across them. This story was last modified, it says, on January 12th, when Robert of this year, when Robert Morin drove back to his law offices in Rome, New York, after a plane trip to Arizona in 2003, July, he had no idea that a silent stowaway was aboard his vehicle, a secret GPS bug implanted without a court order by state police. Police suspected the lawyer of ties to a local Hell's Angel motorcycle club that was selling methamphetamine, and they feared undercover officers would not be able to infiltrate the notoriously tight-knit group, which has hazing rituals that involve criminal activities. So investigators stuck a GPS, or global positioning system, bug on Morin's car, watched his movements, and arrested him on drug charges a month later. A federal judge in New York ruled last week that police did not need court authorization when tracking Morin from afar. Law enforcement personnel could have conducted a visual surveillance of the vehicle as it traveled on public highways. U.S. District Judge David Hurd wrote, Morin had no expectation of privacy in his whereabouts of his vehicle on a public roadway. I wonder what happens when he put it into his driveway. Did they have to turn off the GPS? What's new? Police agencies are making inroads in using GPS technology to track suspects without getting court approval first. The bottom line is this: as more courts side with police over privacy, critics say GPS can reveal too much and should require strict judicial oversight. Well, it's a very interesting story, Stuart. We appreciate you sending that in. What does this have to do about privacy, and why do we care as Christians, especially a Christian worldview perspective, when the state has this kind of intrusion into our lives? Well, it is very interesting to think about these sorts of things, because if this applies to people like mafiosos or drug dealers or people that are involved with the Hell's Angel motorcycle club, why not it'd be us Christians next? Perhaps those of us who are accused of being on the Tyranny Response Network, or perhaps we are on the Tyranny Response Network, or those of us who are accused of spreading seditious ideas like privatizing the Federal Reserve System, abolishing the wicked and monstrous IRS, or eliminating the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, the Department of Transportation, and probably most other departments in government. What if we're considered to be potentially seditious and those who need to be watched? Is it okay just to start bugging anyone with this GPS bug by government that would be considered a threat to the state? Well, I think this is a serious problem, folks. I'm not in favor of the Hell's Angels Motorcycle Club. I'm not saying I'm against it. I just don't know anything about it. It doesn't sound good, but that doesn't mean I'm necessarily against it. I'm certainly in favor of people having freedom to do what they want in this country. I'm not in favor of forcing anybody to do any particular thing, as long as they don't injure someone else in prosecuting their own objectives. But, folks, I'm concerned about this GPS business. I don't want government being able to just lay down surveillance on any of us for any reason. Are you likewise concerned with me that this is a true problem, a true violation of the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, that we're protected from search and seizure? What gives government the right to monitor my activities and have that sort of surveillance? I'm concerned about that, and I think it's tyranny. And this is the Tyranny Response Network. You're listening to Dr. John Coben on Christian Worldview. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning, saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And welcome back to the show. This is Dr. John Coben. We're glad you've joined us here this morning on Christian Worldview. If you're listening to a recorded show, another time zone, another time and a place, we're happy that you've done so. We encourage you to email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. We also encourage you all to go to the policyofliberty.net webpage, and on the homepage, to scroll down to the various links that we have. You'll not only see a link for today's broadcast, which is usually posted by somewhere around 11 to 12 o'clock Eastern time every day. And if it's not posted when you first click on the link, please go back a little later in the day and click again. You'll find it there. You'll also find yesterday's show, as well as the show immediately preceding that, and a special show that was recorded regarding Romans 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2. All of those are available online. In addition to that, on the same webpage, if you scroll down a little further, you'll find our program called Liberty Minutes. Liberty Minutes is related to my column that I write every week. And is an audible version that goes on for 5, 6, or 7 minutes normally on some topic related to liberty, related to public policy, that is a very important teaching tool. Some people email these, you can download them to your hard drive and then email them to other people. We have no problem with you using it in that manner, so long as they're not sold to other people. We do have a problem with that. We want to be able to get this information out for free, and it's our largely volunteer effort, and we're happy to provide that to folks. So we'd encourage you to look at those links there, the Liberty Minutes, and send them to folks. Help us to spread the word, the news about liberty. There are very interesting topics there, including government aid to tsunami victims, the neoconservative movement in the Republican Party, and the shift leftward from the Republican Party. There's also some issues about free market solutions to immigration problems, for instance, and the elimination of marriage licenses and favoring marriage covenants instead. That's, in fact, the most recent one, and there'll be another article this week following up that'll be on the air, recorded for Liberty Minutes, as well as be published in my weekly column. In addition to those things you'll find on the Policy of Liberty homepage, you're also going to find a couple of links at the very bottom. One is called Deep Questions for Dr. Coben's Radio Show. I'd appreciate it if you'd all go there and read some of these questions. In fact, as our show's winding down for the day, I'm going to leave you with a couple of these questions to ponder and think about overnight, and perhaps you'll be able to respond by email with some of your thoughts about these great issues of the day for a Christian worldview. And in addition to that interesting PDF, which if you click on that link, it pops up the Adobe Acrobat Reader, which all of us can get for free, and we can read the file online there. In addition to that, there is this quiz that's online that I talked about yesterday, Four Evangelical Views of Christian Public Policy. Which one seems right to you? Is it theonomy and Christian Reconstruction? Is it the liberty of conscience perspective, as we had our listener write in yesterday? That's his particular point of view, as it is mine, the Tyranny Response Unit. There's also the pacifist or Anabaptist position, and there is this unique set of our group called the Divine Right, or Revitalized and Reshaped, or Divine Right of Kings view, which I think the majority of evangelicals fall into today. We'd encourage you to take a look at those things. It's a self-guided quiz, and then email us your results. Let us know what you think, what you thought about the quiz itself, and where you think you stand in terms of the Christian view of public policy and Christians' relation to the state, nature of the state. Well, here are a couple of the questions that are on the Deep Questions for Dr. Coben's radio show link. Question number one says this: do Christians have a right to self-defense? If so, under what circumstances? Against criminals or also governments? Are there any instances in which Christians must not defend themselves? Excuse me. What biblical passages can be used to support the doctrine? See Luke 3:14, 14:31, 22:36, and 1 Timothy 5:8 for some texts. Why didn't Christ and the apostles defend themselves against the Roman state? Were they just being pragmatic or expedient? Which of the following may properly be resisted with force, even deadly force, by Christians? One, these are seven different cases. Which of the following cases may be properly resisted with force, even deadly force, by Christians? One, an angry Christian brother attacking you with a knife. Do you pull out the .357 and shoot him, or can you? Should you? Two, an armed robber or other predator enters your home in the middle of the night. Three, the local mafia organization who wants to shake you down for monthly contributions. Four, a criminal in public, that is, or for example, as you pass by a small group of thugs who are gang-raping a woman outside of a bar and they turn their attentions towards you in a menacing way. Can you defend yourself against them? Number five, case number five, the invading army of another nation. Case six, the invading army of a nation that your people just declared their independence from, but they refuse to acknowledge your independence from them, as was the case from us leaving England, or the South leaving the states in the North. And seventh, case number seven, your own state. Can you defend yourself against your own state, which is extorting money from you legally, quote unquote, and in other ways has become a predator, maybe even violating God's law? Can you defend yourself against them? Interesting question for Christians to think about. I'd appreciate your comments about that. And if you want to, go ahead and load the file up on your computer. Go to the website, load it up, and copy it into your email message and make some responses point by point. Be happy to hear from you. Here's another question off of the list, question number seven. Do Christians have rights? Is it proper for them to assert their rights as Americans? If so, to what extent? Was Stonewall Jackson, we had a great show recently about Stonewall Jackson, was Stonewall Jackson a strong and devout Christian, wrong in asserting his rights to self-defense, property, and liberty? If so, why? Interesting question. Do Christians have rights? Think about that for a minute. So a lot of folks, if you listen to biblical counselors, say Christians have no rights, but I'm not sure they're talking about political rights or rights against the state. They might deny that a husband has rights against his wife or should act that way, or vice versa, wife against her husband, but they might not say necessarily that Christians have no political rights that are protected by the state. Here's another question. Question number nine, is God bound by political boundaries? If God is not bound by political boundaries, then what does it mean that he deals with nations? What is a nation in a biblical sense? Is it the political jurisdiction of the United States, or is it has to do with an ethnicity? Well, answer some of those questions. Take a look at these very interesting questions on the webpage and read through them. Help yourself think today a little better. And on the show tomorrow, listen for the answers. Contribute to the answers by writing an email and sending it to questions@policyofliberty.net. And we'll be able to read some of your answers on the air and discuss it. This is Christian Worldview. It's a deep thinking show. It's a show unlike other radio talk shows where you have superficial, lighthearted talk. We have some of that, but we hope our listeners go away every day having thought a little bit better and a little bit deeper as a Christian, so that we, and even non-Christians, because non-Christians have been listening and have profited from this show. You can think about liberty issues and those things which promote our freedom, free markets, limited government, and peace in a better way. If this show helps you to do that, let us know by sending us an email to questions@policyofliberty.net. We look forward to seeing you again on the show tomorrow morning. This is the Tyranny Response Network, and you've been listening to A Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. God bless.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.